So, ma'am, before we begin, if you could, quickly give an introduction with, the name, the institute that you work with, your area of specialization, what courses do you teach in the program?
As you are aware, I'm Sybil Thomas. I teach at the University of Mumbai Department of Education. And at the department, currently I am teaching a course in Philosophical Foundations of Education, then higher education and e-learning, as well as communication and academic writing. So these are the current four courses that I engage with. And apart from at the MPhil, I deal with the issues and concerns in again in higher education. And also we have different diploma and certificate courses, so the list can go there on, but these are essentially the courses that I deal with. I also we at the master's level we have students for dissertation, and at the doctoral level as well is what I guide students for their PhD.
Okay, and then how long has it been that you have been in, associated with the Mumbai University?
With the Mumbai University, it has been now 11 years.
Wow.
So in between, but I had moved out and as a principal for St. Xavier's College of Education, Institute of Education, Churchgate. It was a brief period as principal there on leave from university and came back to university. It was in 2014.
And here, ma'am, you're currently teaching the B.Ed. course, right?
No, we don't have the B.Ed. course. We have the M.Ed., M.Phil., and Ph.D. in education.
Okay, perfect. So, okay, fine. M.Ed. it is there. Okay, yeah. So, ma'am, how long has it been that the M.Ed. course has been running with the university?
Ever since its inceptualization in 1974.
And what is the NCTE approved intake for M.Ed.?
F15
Per year.
per year. Yeah.
Okay. And ma'am, how many students were admitted in 19 and 20?
In 2019 and 20, I think we had only seven students. Seven, no, yeah. Lasted, I think, was maybe around 7 to 10. But the ones who we were able to retain, there were dropouts as well. So maybe around seven is the one that ultimately finished in 19 and 20.
So you have 50 is what you said, right, as your intake, but only 7 passed.
Yeah, see, in the sense that 50, but after it became 2 years, our number of students taking the course was very less. Like in 16, 17, we had only 4 students. So this is what happened after the 2 years got implemented at the University of Mumbai. But strangely, this year, and I do suspect, because many probably think it was an online, because there won't be classes. So we saw a sudden surge, and we've got 21 students
Oh, how nice. Wonderful.
for 2020-21. But we started itself in the month of November. So, yeah, so the admissions for 2021 took place in November. And right now we have only finished one semester instead of two.
Because of COVID.
So there I told you maybe people thought, because we are very strict for attendance at the university and the other criteria, so they must have thought in online they could manage both, and it's already November, so we got 21 students.
And ma'am, what is the proportion of students from, say, arts, commerce, or chemistry, biology stream?
Strangely, you would see nowadays we are seeing a lot of students from the commerce stream. So the commerce is coming in because most of the colleges, and especially private colleges, are the only ones who take students from commerce. Aided has, but aided colleges would have only 2 or 3 seats for commerce economics.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas private colleges take whatever combination they feel like.
Right.
And these are the ones I'm seeing who are aspiring and coming in for higher education and things like that. And otherwise, humanities and sciences is more or less the same.
Okay. Okay.
More or less the same.
Yeah. And then how would you describe the quality of this academic qualifications? I mean, what proportion would you say are first class students and your assessment of their academic strengths and weakness?
Most of them are, but our great challenge at the university is to cater to students coming from non-English background.
Yes.
Because they are the ones who come in from rural parts of Maharashtra, etc. And for them, higher education is a ladder to climb.
Right.
Master's degrees, etc. is a ladder through which they feel they perceive. Whereas good B.Ed. students through campus placements, since I was principal, I can tell you that we hardly have them who want to go in for M.Ed., M.Phil. You know, PhD is possible, but not M.Ed. as such, spend 2 years. They would do it. And another thing at Bombay University is the same university offers a MA education through an online mode, distance education. So they would all go in for a distance and not invest 2 years doing a regular degree.
Right, right. Okay, got it. And ma'am, how would you compare your students' academic profile with that of the other college students?
See, colleges, we started having affiliation for master's degree very maybe as recent as 10 years ago.
Okay.
So, to be precise, 12 years ago, the affiliation for master's degree began with Somaya College of Education being the first college to start an M.Ed. program along with the Department of Education. Department was continuing, but it was Somaya who started the first college level M.Ed. program.
Mm-hmm.
So after which, within this last 12 years, today we have around 35 colleges offering M.Ed. degree. And in the 35 colleges, I don't think that there exist teachers or students, except at the Somayas which do it.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of them, maybe one or two in the 35, and rest of them, it is actually marketization of education would be a good example to see how M.Ed. is run.
Oh, that's a pretty sad picture.
Yeah.
And ma'am, what would be the proportion of, say, men and women as your students?
We would rarely get a boy. Like this year, we are very glad to have 2:20. Otherwise, we would get probably 1:10, that ratio, okay. Or sometimes nothing.
Okay. And ma'am, how are students admitted in your program? I mean, is there like a university?
No, they come in through the common centralized entrance test of the university.
Okay.
Not university, of Maharashtra State Government.
Right. Okay.
So they give in that common CET exam and then they come. So whoever comes, we actually have no choice and we do take them.
Okay. And ma'am, what do you think, which are the colleges that the students prefer to take up B.Ed. or M.Ed. or, I mean, you know.
See, B.Ed. Usually B.Ed. level, if you ask me, it is the aided colleges that are in great demand.
Okay.
If they don't get an aided college, then of course, whatever they get, then money determines which college you go to.
Right, right.
Because you would prefer a low-paying college.
Yeah.
So not the high-paying, but the one which gives you the least fees, you don't mind anything, just finish it off and get out with a degree.
Right.
So that is the thing. With regard to M.Ed., our fees are the least. Okay. Like we charge 13,000 for 2 years. But other colleges, all theirs, they will have 30, 20 students per year when we will have only 5 and 6.
Got it. Okay. And ma'am, what are the ranks of students who are admitted in your college?
What are the
ranks?
In the sense, what you would
Say, for example, if they have they get in through the CET, right?
Yeah.
So are they the ones who are in the creamy layer of the percentage?
Academically.
Yes, academically.
I think they're evenly distributed. So okay. It's as per their choice. So they give preference 1, 2, 3.
Okay. And ma'am, how many students do take up maths or science teaching once they come into M.Ed.?
After coming to M.Ed., who will go in for school teaching as such, would be very few, maybe less than 30%.
Oh, otherwise?
Most of them look into colleges, I told you, for jobs. If not colleges, then probably their own schools, administrative kind of responsibilities. So they come with those kind of ambitions.
Okay. And ma'am, like you said, earlier it was 1 year course and now it changed to 2 years. So do you think the profile of students have also changed because of this?
Yeah, they have definitely changed. Why do I say definitely in the senses? Previously, when we had 1 year course, we would have 30 seats and 20, yeah, 25 or 30 seats. And we used to get a demand which would be almost like 75 students to 80 students who were wanting to apply.
Wow.
So it was such a prestigious thing to get to the department and do a M.Ed. for 1 year. So we could see we used to have the cream of all the colleges which would come and try. But I sadly see how this has changed over the years. And now we don't, these cream students, I also guess this is not only related to the 2 years, it's also the mushrooming of these private schools, IGCSE boards. And this, who then started offering students around 40,000, 45,000 as salary. Like if you would see in our college at Xavier's, we would get many of them who would not get less than 35 to 40. Then we also would have overseas schools coming in and taking students from there. So all this started, then it became more lucrative to get into this and pursue your education through the distance mode. Because M.Ed. then became a distance mode thing.
And ma'am, what do you think is the socio-economic profile of the students that get admitted?
It varies as any normal probability curve, but at the M.Ed., I would say many of them come from struggling homes. And also, I think this is by and large in teacher education that the majority would be from middle and lower middle income groups. It would also be women who are trying to make a entry into the workforce, and therefore many women who are actually struggling at the home front, and this who will come into so teacher education. That is my experience. So you will have many of them either coming from disturbed, troubled homes, waiting for this degree so that they could get separated. They could probably, they are separated, and this is a way in which they think they can get an employment. So those kind of things are there.
And ma'am, what do you think, had they not joined teaching, what could have been their other alternatives?
I think their other alternatives would have been short-term jobs in some kind of, I told you, commercial institutions and businesses, but very short-term. So in that way, I think these courses give them something little stable and a good anchor for their careers.
Ma'am, and because we are talking about how this course actually proves as an anchor, what do you think is the key motivation to join the program?
Key motivation somewhere. Now, if you ask me my brief experience, because prior to Xavier's, I had taught for 9 years at the Somaya College of Education, and I'm actively involved in at least four of these colleges' quality assurance committees. And they are, one is at the college development, and the other also on their, different academic bodies. Yeah, so in that sense, I would say that, at the B.Ed. level, and the, can you repeat your question?
I was asking, what do you think is their motivation to
Yeah.
join?
So, if they are inspired at the B.Ed. level, many of them come in here because it's, they have taken commerce, science, humanities, and in a way, it did not make much sense to them as people. And they find that education and the kind of content that we are transacting is meaningful. So I would say that that is one contributor to getting them to the masters.
Yes.
When they meaningfully connect their lives to the content and feel a certain amount of meaning they find in their own lives because of what they are learning. So therefore, then they get motivated to come to higher education. Yes. So B.Ed is that transforming platform for them. And many who would have taken science and commerce, they are disillusioned with the job market, the kind of jobs that they take, and probably they have made decisions and choices which really now they feel did not really make sense to them. So then they come into B.Ed and then they suddenly feel so liberated and somewhere connected with the content and the experiences that they are going through.
Right. Okay.
So I've given, I think, 2-3.
Yeah. And those are quite reflective. So yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. And ma'am, what do you think your students like most about the program?
I think at the B.Ed level, if you see what students really like, is I told you the content meaningfulness. They like this working in groups and the kind of individual attention that they get from teachers. Then they also like the kind of co-curricular activities, though sadly, very often I feel at teacher education institutes, we water it down to, you know, non-reflective, but certain kinds of repetitive things like, you know, women and stereotyping activities that teachers would have to teach dance. So let's do dance, let's do rangoli, because they have to decorate classes. So they need rangoli, they need chart making, though this. So do we do it that, those kind of things? But these are opportunities for them to connect with one another, connect with their teacher, go out. First time after 4 years, they feel that sense of bonding, that meaningful feedback. All this contributes to the beauty of the B.Ed course is what I feel.
So that would also be the same with M.Ed.
In M.Ed, we don't have too much of this. It all depends. So at the M.Ed level, they do get that personal attention is at the time of their research guidance. Okay. At the time of doing it, and groups being small, they like each teacher would have only 2 or 3, or even when we had 25 and 30 students, maximum 5 students we have. So there again, that kind of bonding takes place among these students. Their presentations are group presentations. Then they are wherever they go, it's like we put them into, everything is centered around learning from one another and with one another. So I think that's what helps them. Off late, at least after I've come back from Xavier's and tried to do some new activities at the department, I think, yes, as you rightly said, that we also try to bond with different institutes, see that they get a wider exposure to issues other than teaching and learning, but some new thoughts that are going around in education, challenge them to think further than the kind of research paper reading. So those kind of things, I think, definitely is what makes them excited to be part of this course.
And what do your students think about the 2-year program?
See, they are mixed feelings, but once they're in, I'm sure they say that 2 years was not enough. Yes. But when they enter in, they wonder whether really 2 years is going to be worth and how do we cross this 2 years? But after they are in, and off late, I'm seeing the more we focus on these kind of group kind of learnings, like what do I do for my course, especially the first time that they come in for Philosophical Foundations of Education, and then we have higher education where a lot of it needs reading, reading from different journals, etc. So 1 or 2 months is what I do is simply inspirational short English passages that I take for their preparatory thing to get conversant with. I told you their English is a major challenge for us to get them to do. and prepare them. Like sometimes I give good speeches, or maybe Abdul Kalam, Nelson Mandela speech. So it proves two ways. It proves them to, it helps them to learn the language, but also personally connect them. And I keep a, like a buddy system where they would come and I need not sit through, but I'll start it off where they, whatever they read yesterday, they will share with the students who are better off in English. Mm-hmm. And they have to tell what they're learning in English alone. It's not that I want them to learn English grammar and this, but I do understand without having access to good English literature, there is no much literature in their local languages, right, especially Hindi and Marathi. So then, so I think there that bonding begins. Mm. So after some time, you will see more than us, they are looking to their friends for that support.
Yeah.
And the friends also take it upon themselves. So the more we increase the group activities, the more I'm seeing that there is a lot of bonding taking place, which I did not face in my time when I did my MEd as a regular student, and though 1 year, but the kind of we feeling that I see in my students today is much stronger than probably I would have seen in my time. Okay. Wow. Or even these years. The more I'm moving, the more I'm seeing how that comes.
Okay, okay. And ma'am, what do you think are your students' opinion regarding the teacher eligibility test?
There again, I think that's something that they are very sad about, because many of the real good students don't make it. So there is some mismatch in that test. And this, at least in the B.Ed. colleges, Xavier's, we used to have a very less percentage of students who would qualify it. And they would be our best creative teachers who would be absorbed in the best kind of schools, but somehow not able to crack the TEK. So I don't know why this is happening. Maybe what is happening in the TET, the kind of questions are very technical, right, and very, you know, there is only one, they'll give a situation, but they will have only one form or one answer which is correct. Whereas I think in good colleges and even at the department, all that we train them to do is looking at multiple ways of dealing with.
Yeah. So then
guessing the best option becomes very difficult for them.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the drawbacks of, I think, the TET system as well.
Ma'am, and in what way do you think the entire MEd program changes the students into? I mean, when they come in and when they leave, how do you see the change in them?
I think with regard to perspective, in the sense that, see, now this may be not from the good colleges in Mumbai University, but where most of our students would come in from the private colleges and Mufassil area. And I think MEd, B.Ed., it is so much of content trying to be pushed into them, and more at the level of assimilation and remembering and, you know, understanding. But it's here that you see they start thinking differently. That critical outlook, the ability to understand that, I told you, multiple perspectives, questioning content, seeing diverse viewpoints, then to be able to, you know, appreciate the contribution of research. Now, these all come from the master's degree. Good colleges, we attempt like some of the vision statements now, in Somaya as well, where I taught 9 years, also had critical thinking in their vision statement, as well as Xavier's did have it. But I think with the exposure, the kind of topics that they deal with, and the way of independent discovery, and able to give them opportunities to formulate their own viewpoints and stand by them, you know, those kind of things, I think, come at the master's level.
Okay. Ma'am, what is the kind of feedback that you receive from schools with respect to student preparation?
Sadly, at the department, we don't do any feedback from schools.
Okay.
From the B.Ed. colleges, of course, they would prefer our students to the other college students. And that is because also of the fact that we are serious for 2 years in terms of making sure they go through the rigor and things like that. So they always prefer the regular students to the other college students. That is the thing. But this is some area that I think we should be working more hard at, is to see how feedback gets. And I'm telling you this with regard to university by and large.
Okay.
So that how do we use our exit feedbacks, our stakeholder feedbacks to inform curriculum?
Right.
So that's something that we seriously is a weak area that we have.
Okay.
Curriculum design based on that. So since I am also on certain boards of studies of the university for the BEd curriculum when it was revised as well. Mm-hmm. So this was a very weak area that I found. It is not based on that. So indirect feedback, yes, probably through campus placement, they come and say, you know, the people were telling ki aapke students ko ye nahi aata, wo nahi aata, so we will put this content into that and all that sorts. Mm-hmm. So those, that way it does come, but nothing very structured and reflective and, you know, those kind of.
Yeah. And ma'am, after they take up teaching, do your students like keep in touch with you? Do you have an alumni and what kind of feedback do they give you? I mean, obviously, I mean, like individual feedbacks you were saying. So is it regarding the course or the kind of implementation?
I think it's regarding the implementation, and I'll sadly say in most BEd colleges, alumni involvement is there because it's a requirement. But with regard to content of teaching and regard to how and sharing of that doesn't really come. But sharing of experiences, yes. When the alumni, every college will make sure that we have at least 3 alumni meeting, because without that, we cannot get accredited. What do we fill every year in our quality reports? So we do that. But so they will share their experiences, their this. But and then now we are having in the each college committee has this IQAC, that is the internal quality assurance cell, where we are. It's mandated that we take 1 alumni on the cell.
Okay.
So to discuss the different quality initiatives, etc. So it is probably there that that one person or who is on the committee, and if they are vocal and reflective enough, who can make a difference.
Yeah. And ma'am, we were talking about PT. So I just wanted to understand, like from the previous say 2 or 3 batches, how many would have applied for the PT or the CTET exam?
See, we make sure that all 50 in the colleges, at least a college like Samaya and Xavier's, make sure that all 50 apply. At least may tell them, train them, make them tell the date is announced, tell them that form filling, any technical problem come. So maybe out of 50, because somebody is not well or somebody passed away or some crisis in the family, at least 40 will attempt.
Okay. And passing rate would be?
Passing rate will be only maybe 50 to 60%.
Okay. And do you provide any support for this preparation?
Yeah. See, now this has become a new business. But in certain colleges, yes, teachers take it voluntarily. But otherwise, there are plenty. There is a guidebooks. There are classes, coaching. Then there is, all paid sites for getting these coaching. All these sites are there. So we give them a plethora of options where you can look at these things. But certain teachers do it, like at Xavier, they do it on their own as well.
Okay. And ma'am, there would be some colleges where the TET pass rate is very high, and there could be some colleges where the rate is low. What do you think would be the reason for this?
See, now there also, I think, it also depends on a variety of factors. Like if the passing percentage being high is not at all in correlation with the kind of preparation of teacher training that the college really provides.
Okay.
Because I told you there is a total mismatch between the kinds of philosophy of an MCQ construction for the TET and the college objectives sometimes made, or the university curriculum objectives for teacher education that are there. So it would also mean skills in those who are trained themselves in giving a lot of banking exams, competitive tests, then those who are good in those kind of analytical and logical reasoning things. No, so those variety of thing. But so far, I have not reached a point to believe that there is a relationship.
Okay, okay.
And that may be my personal thing which I need to move.
But I mean, yes, because like you're saying, if you know, the students who are appearing, you know, and the TT examination is also not supportive to what the students have already learned, then I think there's a gap at that level.
Yeah.
Could be.
See, sadly, with MCQs, no, even with now with all this online and MCQ exams that we are conducting, what shocks me and surprises me is to see that we are asking questions like, you know, which year, like history questions, which year, who wrote this, because these are easily found on all online sites and in different guidebooks.
Right.
Yeah, so we are asking those kind of questions. But now I'll give you an example of, we are teaching, for example, Paulo Freire, or we are taking education for nature, when we are teaching Gandhiji, we have Gandhiji and his teachings regarding morality in general. Okay, but you will sadly find that even the pool of question bank created for that particular unit, where we have specified Aurobindo is for integrated education, Gandhiji is for morality, Tagore is not, we are not talking about naturalism alone, but we are saying Tagore and his ideas about, Tagore was for spiritualism. Yeah. So when we are giving this, but yet the bank question bank that will come to you when you see the kind of questions that they are setting from other colleges, you will see they are asking, where was Shanti Niketan located?
Yes.
Okay. Then they will say, my experiments, my truth was written by.
Yes.
But that's not what we said we were teaching in the course.
Right. So there's a gap in what is being taught and what is being assessed.
Assessed, yeah. Now, when we are talking of Dewey and Rousseau, we want to understand them with the perspective of democracy and citizenship. Okay, but they will ask you, teaching by what? Learning by doing is the philosophy of. And they don't raise that bar beyond. If they have questions like in a classroom, now there was recently a student brought to my attention a question that was asked. Learning in the classroom where this kind of a behavioral problem is there, what would the teacher do? Okay, now that what would the teacher do is very contextual based, no?
Yes.
But that is the question that comes in TET. And the kind of question that comes in SET. So these kind of things have to be re-looked at, no? For the kind of content.
And
so
like,
there...
Sorry, continue.
No, so there, if you have gone through at least 10 good guidebooks, you will definitely, 5 book questions will come from all these different books.
Yes, understood. And then, so what do the students, like where are the students getting employed after completing their MEd?
After MEd, as I told you, most of them would be either at these schools. Yes, there is a good mix. 50% would be maybe 40% in schools of their own, or they've applied for, and you know, because of want. But many of them sadly join unaided systems of education, those who come from the rural backgrounds and Mufassil areas, where they struggle with 10,000, 12,000, even after doing an MPhil from the department for years and years, and hope one day that they will make it into some kind of a good college with an income. Or they will go to become principals in degree colleges in the small, small remote areas. And there again, they will be getting that 14, 15,000 and under a management who only wants to show your degrees for getting the approval from the university.
Ma'am, so say in the batch of last 2 years, what proportion of students actually looked for a job and what kind of jobs were they looking for? Like, say, private or, you know, getting into something is okay, but what do you think did they actually think of getting into? Government jobs?
All of them want a government job, especially coming for masters. That picture is still not getting wiped. Very slowly it is going, but till now it is that dream of a government job.
Right.
And in that, so, but slowly, slowly, as they realize, if not government job, then it is a stated that at least koi higher education institute mein hona chahiye. Par school bahut hi, matlab M.A. M.Phil karne ke baad school mein jaye to kya fayda, kind of, no?
Okay.
So very often we have to encourage them to see, go to a school where you will get a sense of fulfillment, a kind of job security, a sense of this. But don't think it to be something that you don't want to engage with.
Got it. Yeah, that's important. And ma'am, what, so do you have like a placement cell, or is it just through word of mouth or newspaper ads that these students get placed?
Yeah. See, the scene has changed very drastically in the last 10 years. Previously, there would be no one student of us who won't be employed. But that was the time when all these colleges were mushrooming in the city and in the state.
Okay.
In B.Ed., M.Ed. in the last 10 years.
Okay.
But now we see that it's not so. So you suddenly feel that even if they have mushroomed, they have enough and more to candidates that they have already employed. And also the stories from those candidates are pretty sad. So there is no much encouragement there on that front.
Okay.
But then they'll either, if they are financially good, they try to pursue their PhD or try the JRF. And if not the JRF and PhD, then they try to go into different, like I've now seen at least 1 or 2% of our students after PhD have gone into content writing and designing and those kind of things, which are also taking a sizable number of our students.
Okay, okay. And ma'am, so we have heard that, you know, the new teachers are generally given lower grades when they start teaching, right?
Yeah.
After they move out of M.Ed. So do you think this is the truth? And were your students who were placed, they were taught to teach grades that they were offered when they moved out?
Yeah, that's true. They offered lower standards, lower grades in terms of teaching, correct?
Yes, in terms of
teaching. Yeah, yeah. So their new teachers are usually sent to the lower grades. That is true. But then if it's a good school, they only hope that with years of experience, they'll get a little higher grades to teach. So it all depends on personality types, whether they are willing to, you know, adjust and with the hope of a brighter future, take whatever comes, the kind of institution. So here again, you see kind of students, the kind of social backgrounds they come from, the reasons why they're looking for employment. If they, as I told you, many of them are now in these IGCSE schools as, what is that, content writer, curriculum developers and things like that. But there again, it is the English medium and the people coming from a affluent kind of a background that would get in there.
Yeah.
And the rest of them then will keep on pushing, studying further, taking more courses, hoping that somewhere something will click for them.
Ma'am, what do you think would be the starting salary of teachers who join private school?
Not more than 13,000.
Okay. And this is after B.Ed. or M.Ed.?
Yeah.
Okay.
And ma'am, does it make a difference? And many of coaching classes, huh?
Yes, that's. Yeah. So that, we could just list down, say, other careers other than teaching. So what would those be?
Right now, I would look at these. Now, last 3 years, I've seen two students, at least now my batch is less. So I would say two also is great. So who have gone in for their own consultative, you know, entrepreneurship kind of, they have taken it as an entrepreneur to start up something with regard to life skills or starting with regard to teacher training or digital literacy.
Hmm.
And so they started, these kind of efforts are there. Entrepreneur, what they call them as? Edupreneurs or something like that. There is a term in some of these literatures that they teach. So that's something that has come. You also see many of them looking for research assistant positions. So that is another field that we see coming now. Then junior colleges and coaching classes.
Okay.
Because that is something where I think the rate of the dropout rate of teachers on the job are very high in that sector of junior college.
Right.
So that's where they go in and supplement that with coaching classes.
Okay. And then do they also get through any NGOs?
NGOs, very rarely.
Oh, okay.
Very rarely. So that's something that now that I'm talking to you is another thing that I should be exploring for them.
Okay. NGOs. Okay.
You have really got me thinking.
Okay. And ma'am, so what do you think are some of the challenges that you and your colleagues face with reference to, say, teaching students?
With regard to teaching?
Teaching your MEd course.
Yeah. My first thing I would repeat again is language barrier. And making them think and write in a language that they are alien to them. Like for them and Arabic, why alien to them is because even the books that we would have and ask them to refer to would be books that is not in the language that they believe. Secondly, even me and them, that also we could overcome because most of us have learned that language, though not the technical words in writing, but we can converse.
Yes.
So that's something. Secondly, I think the other challenge that we see is many of them, we have to, at the master's level at least, we are more of counselors and counselors in the senses struggling with personal issues. That's why I said the ones who come for MEd and masters and all are people. Mm-hmm. So it's like sometimes even being willing to help them in their separation processes and their marriage things, in as even unmarried, they have so much of relationship issues and those kind of during the 2 years that they are with us. So those are things that is another challenge to see how you do. And last year or so, I must say technology. They are easy, they are wanting to learn and this, but even conducting one exam on a Google form, if you want to hear the struggle, you should understand it from university department.
We could have another course set up for this.
So those, like even now if you tell them, but I told you they are willing and the drive is very high. But very often we see that the their own capabilities and their own this thing is not matching to the drive. They're not able to have that agency to push themselves. And also an expectation of self-learning, not having notes. Now that's something I have broken. Mm-hmm. But that notes culture, when they come from the B.Ed. class, they are really enslaved by that.
Okay.
You know, that they want note, they want PPT, they want point, they want this.
Yeah.
So that is, but they slowly wean that off. So these are some of the challenges that we face. Sometimes financial, they joined, but midway, you will even see. Now, these are, I told you, because we get the ones who are mostly coming from a very disadvantaged backgrounds, no?
Yeah.
So those kind of challenges. If you're open enough to see, you see it. But they bring in their joy in the senses when they contribute to a reading every year because of these kind of different diverse backgrounds they come from. And as I told you, the content they start applying to their life, they change your own perspective. So that's the greatest joy.
Yeah. And then challenges with respect to your own tenure or salary or opportunities to grow professionally? Do you feel you face those?
Yeah, you do. But now at the stage at which I am, I think it's a very difficult question to ask me, because somewhere I seem to have pushed through these things and now they don't really matter to us. Okay. But yes, of course, at the workload sometimes and those kind of things which are, but it doesn't come in the way of teaching and learning, but I'm a wrong person to ask, because in many ways I have self-found a solution to my own problems. And
Well, that's nice. You know, at the end, it's not like you're depending on someone. You know the problem, you're seeking help, and you're getting through it. So I think that's a nice way to look at it.
Yeah. So that's something that I told you. Therefore, I'm not too sure whether I'm the right person to count. So there are many, many problems, but I think for me now they are a little bit. But of course, these are human problems are there.
Yeah.
With regard to, but. Other than that, I think that's question is something.
And ma'am, with respect to the NCET regulation, do you face any issues from that side?
Yeah, but with regard to that as well, the kind of paperwork that they do expect and the kind of documentation, the detailing, all the time submit this, submit that, those are there. But personally, I enjoy.
Okay.
Because I make sense through even data. So that's something, again, a wrong person that you are asking. Because for me, even filling a form is exciting.
Okay.
And insightful.
Okay.
So, but I do hear this as a problem.
As a problem.
But as a result in the department, I would take up all that very willingly and happily.
So they have found an angel in you. Okay. And ma'am, because you are a part of the university, how does the university come down with their own regulations?
We hardly have anything and we cannot do much, in the sense that we only say this, but managing an affiliated system with 88 or 90 colleges only for B.Ed alone, I am telling you, each one does what they want. And honestly, university in such a big affiliating system minimum tries to disturb them, because university is run by the college. Did you hear me or am I out of the meeting? Nisha, put the phone on. I'm sweating. I think I'm out of the meeting, or she's out of the meeting. I think she's out. Okay. Thank you.